Verse 14, Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 40. Excuse me. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 40. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 40. And as Jesus returned, the multitudes welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue. And he fell at Jesus' feet and began to entreat him to come to his house. He had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as Jesus went, the multitudes were pressing against him. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the multitudes are crowding and pressing upon you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I am aware that power has gone out of me." When the woman saw that she could not escape notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." And when Jesus heard this, he answered him, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she shall be made well." When he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter and John and James, the girl's father and mother. Now they were all weeping and lamenting for her. But Jesus said, "Stop weeping, for she has not died, but is asleep." They began to laugh at him, knowing that she had died. He, however, took her by the hand, called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she rose immediately, and he gave orders for something to be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but Jesus instructed them to tell no one what had happened. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the word that you have left for us. And I just pray that as we study through this section, Father, that you would speak to our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we might gain from it the insight that we need, that it would challenge us to have faith and to stand firm and to live our lives in humble obedience to you. Thank you for this chance to join together again today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we continue to study the earthly ministry, the ministry of Jesus, we have and we will continue to consistently see evidence of his divine nature. And we will continue to have the same evidence that he is also God made flesh. And this is terribly important. I know that we've talked about this now for several weeks, the same thing. It's important because we needed to have a Savior. We needed a perfect human to shed his blood so that we might have payment for our sin. And so Jesus came to this earth, could not be just God, which is a very strange statement, but he could not be just God and Savior unless he was fully human. So we have this complex concept of Jesus our Messiah, fully God and fully man. So, and he, because of that, he is able to pay the price for our sins and give us eternal life through that payment. So that this repetition is for our benefit, that we might have confidence that Jesus is the one. He's the one that we can look to and recognize that he is God the Savior. He is the one that we can look to and recognize that we can place our hope and trust in him. that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. He's that narrow way that we can follow. And He will give us hope by trusting in Him. All right, so let's get into our text this morning. We're going to start with verse 43, and then we'll back up and get the others later. A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind Jesus, touched the fringe of His cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the multitudes are crowding and pressing upon you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I'm aware that power has gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she could not escape notice, she came trembling and fell down before Him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched Him and how she had been immediately healed. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." So this is, again, a statement of faith in what God can do and what Jesus could do in His earthly ministry. But this is a new category of healing that we've not seen before. If we, up to this point, as we have went through our study, we see healings occur either at the request of the one needing healing or at the request of an individual who is representing the one who needs healing. Here we have a faith that provides healing without request made to Jesus. This woman trusted in the power of what she saw in Jesus and knew if she could just touch Him, I could be healed. Now, this is not a minor thing either, because it tells us in our study here in the verses 43 and 44 that she had had this hemorrhage for 12 years. Now, that means a lot to us if we think about it anyway, but it is even more important when you think about their culture. Blood was a contaminating thing. If you had any kind of a flow of blood, it made you unclean, which meant that you had to separate yourself from the people. You had to declare to everybody that you were unclean. In our society, boy, that would fly good. I would walk up to Kara and say, "I'm unclean, Kara. Stay away from me." Well, that's a very strange concept that we would have in our society. But that was to prevent the communication of very odd diseases that they didn't have any way of controlling. That's what you had to do. You had to be separated out. And so this woman, for 12 years, was an outcast from society. Not only that, you almost get the feeling she probably had a little bit of income or a little bit of wealth to start with, because she spent every bit that she had trying to get healed. She went to doctor after doctor after doctor, hoping that one of them would be able to do it, to no avail. She just remained unhealed. She walked up to Jesus, touched the fringe of His cloak, and immediately she knew she was healed. So now, really all of her problems are solved. You know, if you have a blood flow for 12 years, probably anemic, a lot of those kinds of difficulties, plus being kicked out of society too. So suddenly now she has vitality again, and she has a way of being with people and being a part of society again. What a marvelous event for her that has occurred when she touched Jesus' cloak. Verse 45, Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" So, one, when we look at verses 45 and 46, don't think that Jesus was unaware of all the people around Him. I don't know exactly all the limitations that He had in His physical self, but we know quite frequently He knows things that a normal person wouldn't know, because He is God in flesh. And so I don't know if He didn't know this person, who it was that touched Him. I don't think that's true. I think He's trying to make a point. You know, I want people to see that faith in Jesus, even if you can't physically request Him, is important. Now, how important is that to us? Think about it. That's very important. How many, I want to see a show of hands for this. How many of you met Jesus personally? None of you. So we could not, by faith, walk up to Jesus and say, Lord, I need this. But by faith, I can say, Lord, I need this. And I can trust that Jesus is going to get it. And that's what this story really tells us about, as much as anything, is the power of not having to go physically and speak with God to understand that He's going to provide for us. Marvelous thing. Marvelous thing for us. That we can trust in Jesus, not having seen Him, not being able to confront Him physically, and know that the promises that have been made to us as the church will be fulfilled. So Jesus is seeking that part. He says, well, who touched me? And you gotta love Peter. He's always coming up with the practical answers to stuff. He says, hey, dude, there's a big crowd here. Lots of people have touched you. That's a rough translation. But, I mean, that, think about it. You know, a big crowd, everybody wants to be close to Jesus. Peter, just very practical. Man, everybody's touching you. But Jesus says in verse 46, someone did touch me, meaning someone touched me for a purpose. Because there was power that went out. So there's a difference between just casual running into each other, but something that power was involved in that moment. The woman saw that she had not escaped notice and came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. See, this is part of the point of the story, is that people would see that she had a need. And even though she did not directly address Jesus face to face, Jesus took care of her need, met her need. And she gives God the glory. She says, hey, I've had this problem for 12 years. Nobody can solve it. I touched Jesus' cloak. I'm healed. What a marvelous event in her life. And so she testifies to what God has done to her in her life, just as we should testify to what God is doing in our life. So our service and our dealings with God, they happen at a very personal level. And the full extent of those things are not always supposed to be known by all others, anybody else. But there are aspects of our ministry that need to come to light. And the goal should be to point to God and His glory and not look at me what I am and how blessed I am because God knows I'm a great person type concept. But give God the glory. These are the things that have happened in my life that God has done and only God could do. Verse 48, Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. So again, we see that the avenue of God working in the lives of man is faith. Absolute trust in Jesus has done this and can do this for us as well. And no one else could do it. It says in verse 43, if you back up again, that for 12 years, nobody healed this woman. But Jesus was able to do it without thought and with just the faith of this woman touching her. The interesting part to me, and I get on sidetracks quite frequently when I'm studying, is the last thing that he says to her, go in peace. Because there's no mention of sin or any of that kind of stuff there. Do you remember the story that we just taught a few weeks back of in the Pharisee's house? And the woman who was a sinner was anointing Jesus with all this stuff, you know. What did he say to her? He said, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Very same thing. So even though we don't announce the problem with this woman as she's not identified as a sinner here, but certainly Jesus recognizes that she still has that need in her life. Still has a need to be obedient to God. Still has a need to follow Him and trust Him for every daily need, not just this one healing type of thing. And that's true of us as well. We need God in our lives in a daily basis. Just spend time with God and be humbly obedient to the directions that He gives to us. All right, so now that was the story within the story, let's go back to the original start of this testimony. So Jesus returns the multitude, verse 40. They welcomed Him, for they had been waiting for Him. Behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to entreat Him to come to his house, for he had had an only daughter about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as she went, the multitudes were pressing around Him. So this is the story that got started. There was a great big crowd in Galilee when Jesus returns to kind of His home base. Notice that He's just ministered across the sea. And His audience was one, basically, the demon-possessed man. So ministry is not always about numbers, because He comes back here to Galilee, and man, there's a whole bunch of people welcoming Him. But I want to remind you that that's the whole thing. We see this in other instances in the Scriptures where the audience doesn't have to be a crowd. It can be just one individual that has a need. God cares that much about all of us. And you may feel like you're insignificant, that there's nothing that would appeal to God's nature about you, but that's not true at all. God cares about individuals. Took care of that man that was demon-possessed. He took care of this woman that had a need for healing. He was traveling around and called to Zacchaeus in the sycamore tree. There was one guy that needed some attention. There's the blind man, Bartimaeus. One man needed attention. So we see there's an awful lot of individual activity in the ministry of Jesus. And I'll continue to point that out as we go. So what your woes are today, what your problems are, they may not be gigantic and crowd-forming, but God knows and God cares. He's aware of that. All right, that's verse 40. 41 and 2 tell us about the station of this person making the request. It's not important as a factor in Jesus' response to that request. It's important for us to see that people from every part of society have a need for Jesus. This guy's pretty important. He's a religious leader. We've seen sinners, prostitutes that are healed, lepers that are cast out that get healed. We're going to see, well, we've already seen tax gatherers that were ostracized as well, that Jesus cares for. We see His disdain toward those that are religious but are really not seeking God. So we can see a whole range of people, very important, down to simple slaves that Jesus cares for and Jesus deals with. That's the important part of this. Here it's the daughter of this synagogue official that is sick and has a great need. And so verse 49, while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." And so here we have, you know, this concept of Jesus needing to be there, physically present, doing His thing, or it's not going to do any good. That's really what you would be saying in verse 49. What you also would be able to say is, man, this is an epic fail for the home team. Jesus was heading to heal this lady, didn't get it done. This child died. So those are things that might roll through your brain as you think through this this story that Luke is telling us. Verse 50. But when Jesus heard this, he answered him, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe, and she will be made well." Now, how many people in this room understand that dead people can be made well? That's quite a statement that he makes here. Don't worry about it. They say she's dead. She's going to be okay. Now, most of us, when that piece of equipment that's hooked up to your heart goes, we pretty much say, okay, that's it. Doctor looks up and sees what time it is, writes it down. That's all. And that's what's happened here. That's essentially what we would see here. But Jesus says, hey, don't worry about that. And that don't mean nothing. He gives us hope where there should be no hope. He says, don't be afraid any longer. Believe. And that's really good advice for us as we live our life and minister on this earth. There are going to be a lot of times when we can doubt. There's a lot of times that are going to be very scary to live this life and go through the things that we're going to have to go. But if we are a child of God, if we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, believe. Only believe. That's the consistent factor that we see in the ministry of Jesus. Whether it's a physical problem, whether it's a spiritual problem, we just trust in the power of God to provide the appropriate answer. All right, verse 51. When Jesus had come to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter it with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. So attendance to this miracle is going to be kind of limited to a very few close disciples and the parents. And the fact of the matter is, we see it all the time, especially we saw it especially in the temptations of Jesus. Faith is not about spectacular. Faith is pretty common behavior. It's not, show me this. It's, I know that you can, and I'm going to follow you and trust you. Our faith is not on what God can ask to do, but it's just based on the character of God, that God is God. And I'm going to trust that he is going to do for me what is best. That's faith. That's what he's talking about here. Verse 52. Now they were all weeping and lamenting for her, but Jesus said, "Stop weeping, for she has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. Kind of a cultural thing here. But one of the things that they did quite frequently was hire professional mourners, or family members that their only task was to mourn when something happened. They knew this girl was dead. That's all there is to it. They had attended to her. She was not living. Okay? So when Jesus said she was asleep, they laughed at him. She's dead. She's really, really dead. Not mostly dead. She's all dead. Okay? All right, verse 54. He himself took her by the hand and called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she rose immediately, and Jesus gave orders for something to be given her to eat. So Jesus said, "Child, arise." The lack of the faith of the mourners wasn't the issue here at all. It was not a constraint to the power of God. Her spirit returned, and she rose immediately. She got up. She was dead. She got up. And then Jesus does something that is not necessarily strange, but it might be peculiar in the situation. He gave her something, or asked that they give her something to eat. You know why? Because spirits don't eat. You know, that you could always say, well, she really didn't raise from the dead. she was transformed into a spirit and walked among men in that way. You know, she was a ghost. That would be something that could be said in a situation like that. She really didn't raise from the dead. She was just a ghost, and her presence were around there. And Jesus said, feed this child something. She's hungry. And she ate. And that means she's physical. I know if you guys have seen Pirates of the Caribbean, you know that those guys, if they eat, it just falls out. So, I mean, I know these are not spirits. These are the real thing. So she was a real child. So he gave her something to eat. And her parents were amazed. They knew she was dead. They were amazed. And Jesus instructed them to tell no one what had happened. Again, it's not about the spectacular. It's about trusting in what God can do. So our question this morning is the same question that we've been talking about the entire study. Is Jesus God made flesh? Is he? And so your answer to that's pretty important. It's based on faith. And it does determine your path. If you trust in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that he is God, then you have life eternal. If you don't believe in that, then you stay in your sin. You stay the course that you're on right now that leads to eternal damnation. And a choice needs to be made. Are you going to trust God? Or are you going to trust yourself and not believe what God says about eternity? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this chance again to join together and to seek your direction. We do thank you for this teaching and pray that we might be encouraged by it, that we would go out and mightily work for you and serve with our whole heart, that you might be glorified. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.